clothes at? Where the fuck the nigga at? Say fuck the nigga back. Where the butch girls at? Where the big girls at? Where the fat girls at? Where the curvy girls at? Where the skinny girls at? Athletic girls at? Probably beat my ass girls. Where the pale girls at?
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
It's dark in here.
I can't see anything.
Is there anybody out there who wants to talk to me?
Wait, I think I see the moon.
3, 2, 1.
This is Radio Moon.
It's showtime.
Welcome to Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Every third Thursday of the month, the Radio Moon Collective brings you an hour of radio from 2 to 3 p.m., created by people living a full life with mental health issues. And as the Canadian Mental Health Association informs us, mental illness affects people of all ages, educational and income levels, and cultures. Today is Thursday, October 21st, 2021. Radio Moon is a program that comes out of Forward House, a community-based mental health organization. We use art, comedy, poetry, interviews, discussions, stories, news, music, and radio dramas to present the many faces and realities of mental health. Most importantly, we have fun and learn the art and science of radio. We would love to hear your voice too. Feel free to send us an email to forwardhouse.education@gmail.com. We love to hear your feedback, perspectives, and thoughts. Today on Radio Moon, we will focus on the theme of sugar. Why sugar? Why not? We like to keep it sweet around here. Let's kick off the show with a roundtable discussion on this sweet topic. Here's Nikki and the Radio Moon crew with more.
Hello and welcome to the Radio Moon Roundtable. I'm your host, Nikki, and I'm joined by Mary Lynn, Ivana, Jerome, Noel, Peter, Catherine, and my co-host, Bianca. So our theme of the month is sugar. What are some of your favorite sugary treats?
Date syrup or maple syrup on pancakes or plain yogurt. It's like, oh, can you get more exciting than that in a dessert?
Maple syrup is good.
I think I would just check all of the above if there was. My sweet tooth ranges from alpha to omega.
All right.
Well, me, I am an uncompromising lover of ice cream, and it doesn't bother me if it's winter and it's cold out. Ice cream is always my favorite sugary snack.
Me too. I love ice cream.
Ice cream fans in the mix. What's the best ice cream flavor in your opinion?
Chocolate.
I like the Coaticook sugar ice cream. They actually have little pieces of maple toffee in it that are crunchy, you know? Awesome.
I like vegan ice cream. I like.
I bought some vegan ice cream for someone that was visiting here. And for a little pint, it cost like twice the amount of regular ice cream. So it's very expensive. But Peter, going back to Coaticook, there's Americans that come to my church. They come on missionary callings, and they always ask me, oh, I heard the Coaticook maple syrup is excellent. So
the maple sugar, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really well-renowned all over, along with poutine. So.
I'm disappointed. I'm in Nova Scotia, and I can't find licorice ice cream. Or Tiger Tail, which is vanilla and orange and licorice ice cream.
I've never had licorice ice cream. It's an interesting.
It's good.
Is licorice sugar actually sugar?
It was black licorice.
Okay. I love black licorice.
I like the licorice root, but not the actual candy.
Black licorice is something that's very, it's pretty divisive. You either yes. love it or you hate it.
Eh? Oh, okay.
Yes, that I is think. So true. Yes.
What do you guys think?
Yes, I've had debates over that because I'm a black licorice fiend. Like when I go up to my daughter's, I hide some in my bedroom and she always catches me for some reason. She goes, "What are you eating there?" And I, you know, she goes over the bed and looks this black licorice hiding there.
I have a question for you guys. Does sugar affect your mood? Positively or negatively? Or how does sugar affect your mood?
Makes me feel good. I confess I like to have Coke. Sometimes I have it with sugar. Doesn't go well with me because I take medication for diabetes. So
I think that when I crave sugar, I'm in a really bad mood. But when I have the sugar, I'm really happy to eat it. And after I've eaten it, I feel guilt. So the only part I really like is while I'm eating it.
like a roller coaster.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Noel, did you have something to add?
Yeah, sugar is great for energy.
Do you find it gives you a lot of energy, Noel? And if you're feeling down, do you usually...
Not a lot, but it boosts your energy a bit.
Mm-hmm. I find it's dried fruits that will like boost that energy more than a sweet, like something with refined sugar. Okay, yeah.
It's funny, I make a spicy dish. It's called dan dan mien or dan dan noodles or sesame noodles. And it's got peanut butter, ginger, garlic, chili oil, sesame oil, black vinegar, and it's also got just a tablespoon of brown sugar in it. But when I have it without the sugar in it, somehow all the flavors don't meld together like they do with the sugar. You know, it tastes completely different. Mm-hmm. It's not like it tastes sweet, 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 but the sugar helps all the other flavors come together.
It's like a booster.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There's no cayenne pepper in it?
No, I use chili oil, which is you heat up oil and you put it over dried chili peppers, and then you use that in the dish. So, you know, that can be fairly hot.
Yeah.
Chocolate with a jalapeno in it is really, really good. It's hot. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. It's really, really nice.
It's the sweet and spicy combo.
I have a question for you guys. If you had to describe your personality as sweet, salty, sour, or bitter, what would you be?
I'm umami. Noel,
or umami.
I have to be sweet and sour.
Catherine, sweet and sour. Noelle, what did you say?
Sweet and salty.
Nice.
Yeah, I would definitely go for sweet and dark, like, you know, chocolate with pomegranate syrup.
Jerome?
I'm sweet.
Aw.
No, I really am. I'm a nice guy.
I like that. To know yourself so well.
Yeah,
I agree. What about you, Marilyn?
See, I would go with all of the above again, because I could be so sweet. That's people that tell me that, Marilyn, you're always so sweet. But I'm sweet because I'm trying very hard. Just kidding. But I'd like, you know, I'd like to be known more as sassy.
Oh, sassy. So sassy would be what? Like more like
sassy
part,
would
or?
Be. Sassy would just be sweet and you know
spicy.
What? Spicy. That's what I was looking for.
Okay. Spicy. Like
that punch, you know, a bit of punch. Sweet,
yes.
Sweet and spicy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the jalapeno chocolate.
Yeah. I'll go for that.
Put that in again.
Amazing.
Can I guilt trip everybody about sugar?
You can try.
It's just it's something I read in the magazine at the Demi Village back when it was open. They were saying that if people in the industrialized countries stop eating sugar, caffeine, basically coffee, tea, chocolate, we would solve a lot of the world hunger because they're growing our crops and not their food.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, that's like, so, I feel so guilty, but I'm so addicted.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's like something really to think about.
Sad.
But then they would lose their pay, even if they're paid so little.
Well, they could grow their food and get paid for that. But it would be like a hard transition from the agro conglomerates to people growing their food.
Right.
Or maybe the agro conglomerates would, like Monsanto would start like going, yay, we can like, and all supply seeds that are non-
Oh my gosh.
That don't repeat next year and like nice little fertilizers.
Don't talk to me about Monsanto. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, like sometimes I feel really guilty when I eat like way more than is reasonable.
Yeah. That would be good that they grew their own crops to feed themselves. Like in the old ages, that was bartering with services at that time. But cocoa is very important for chocolate, so I hope they continue doing that.
I know, me too. I think I could ditch like most everything. I think chocolate would be the hardest.
Well, I ditched caffeine. I don't drink caffeine at all anymore. I take herbal tea, and I thought it would be much harder, but I'm feeling much better. In the morning I wake up and I don't need that coffee to get me going. It's a very big change, but it has done miracles to my morning health.
Okay. So
did you put sugar in your coffee when you had your coffee?
I used to put sugar in it. Exactly. I used to put sugar and I used to put a bit of milk and or cream. And I don't miss it at all. But then again, I haven't stopped the chocolate. That is another step.
Have you tried chocolate-covered coffee beans?
Oh, that's nice. I've had that.
Really,
the
really
cacao tin.
You have a few you can stop.
Oh. I agree. And then you feel like really energetic.
They keep you up all night long, and then your blood pressure is just perfect first thing in the morning.
But there's something really nice about chewing the coffee bean. It's kind of like a very special crunch that's, I don't know, it feels so nice, that crunch in your teeth and in your mouth. It's kind of like crunchy and slightly soft at the same time. It's like, whoa.
So it answers to all your senses.
The way it feels, the crunch and the way it smells. Like, yeah, and the aroma is probably a big kick too.
Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. It was discovered that some people are attracted to wine, you know, for the alcohol content, but there's a lot of people who are attracted to wine just for the burnt sugar inside it.
That would be why. I had a professor who said he was diabetic. He said he couldn't touch wine. He would just do horrible things to blood sugar.
There's a lot of things you shouldn't touch if you have diabetes. Like everything we've talked about, I shouldn't have.
Yeah. Is it hard?
No.
To watch other people stuff.
No, because I found substitutes. I like other things instead. I like I like eating garlicky things as well. So, or onions, or they quell the taste for the need for sugar, and I just experiment with cooking things. So like spicy things I like a lot. I made chili con carne, but I put a lot of jalapeno seeds in it, as well as chopped up the jalapeno with the meat of it. And that kind of thing, you know, like you convert to spices.
Yeah, so basically you're experimenting or cooking very tasty things. Well, sugar is just
one big buzz. I don't, when the recipe calls for sugar things, I don't usually eat. I avoid the sugar. I don't put it in there. and something different inside of it.
That's amazing. I find you very disciplined, and I admire that.
Well, thank you, but I'm not that disciplined because I still slip all the time, so don't worry. You have well, to. I do a lot of finger sticking, and I get shocked a few times. And I make a lot of charts from this, and I email them to the doctor, and she has it in my chart, and so she can look up and down, and then she can look at the really high ones and say, well, what happened there? So I have to explain.
So why would you take sugar? Like, when you have to explain, is it an emotional thing that happened, or is it because sweet? I associate sweet with comfort, you know. And
it's a comfort food, but it's like you can have anything as a comfort food.
That's true.
Anything at all that you like to eat. Associate sugar with just like a craving of some kind, you know, craving for.
So your cravings are more on the sweet side?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. So are mine. The sweet, salty side.
Salty? Yeah, I can't eat that either because I have a hypertension. So I got a lot of things wrong with me.
I can't either. But I think you're still disciplined because you cook, you know, you try to cook without the sugar. And that's one thing that I should start doing. And I see it as a mountain. I don't see it as an attractive thing to do for me.
Well, I think I get most of my cravings coming home from being around people. It's like I miss people already.
Yeah.
That when I get home, I gotta stuff myself with something, and I find chips.
Does anyone else have sweet tooth cravings after supper before going to bed, like during the evening?
I feel like we were just talking the other day, actually here at Forward House, about how some of us crave a dessert after every single meal. Lunch, dinner, late night snack. It's real. The sugar cravings are real.
Okay, so guys, what are we doing after this?
I think we're all getting hungry.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab an ice cream for sure.
Well, thank you guys so much for participating in that roundtable on sugar. You've been listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Thanks, guys, for that sweet discussion on sugar. Up next, we have a pretty popular song. You know, we usually pour some milk into our cereal, some creamer into our coffee, some granola into our yogurt. But we're going to pour some sugar on me by Death Leopard.
Can I be your man? Hey, 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 hey. Resonant and desolate,
This is a Radio Moon news flash. Kermit the Frog, our traveling reporter, reported that Big Bird was recently diagnosed with fear of the dark. Doctors increased his sleep medication as an immediate answer. Unfortunately, it didn't heal Big Bird at all. He admits that he was always afraid of the dark and that he is now also afraid of his medications. Unfortunately, the two medical conditions have been proven to be connected. But doctors cannot reveal at this time exactly how. For Radio Moon News, this is Catherine Sanders.
Thank you, Catherine. Now listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. This next part is pretty scientific. Here's Jerome with his report on sugar and insulin in the body.
Hi, I'm Jerome, and I'm here to tell you about our sugar and insulin balance. Sugar that travels through the blood to fuel the body's cells is called glucose. To prevent there from being too much sugar in the body, there is a hormone called insulin, which is made in the pancreas. There should always be a balance between glucose and insulin. Glucose, stored for later use, takes the form of glycogen, and this takes place in the liver and muscle cells. Glucagon is another hormone produced by the pancreas and tells the cells in the liver and muscles to convert the glycogen and release glucose into the blood so cells can use it for energy. The job of the pancreas, therefore, is to keep in balance the glucose, or sugars, on the one hand, and insulin and glucagon on the other. Diabetes mellitus occurs when there is an imbalance between glucose and insulin in the body. If not corrected, this can lead to serious health problems, such as blindness, amputations, and premature death. Diabetic people need to keep a very close eye on the glucose level in their blood. On the mental health level, many treatments given cause the glucose and insulin to be out of balance. Patients should check with their health care provider if diabetes is a likely side effect of the drugs they are prescribed. If you have any further questions, don't hesitate to ask your friendly neighborhood five-star family doctor.
Up next, we have a single that topped the Billboard's R&B charts for 9 weeks in a row. It was a great hit in the 1960s. Let's take a listen to Sugar Pie Honey Bunch by the Four Tops.
Mama, you
This is Radio Moon News with another Radio Moon News Flash. This just in, Grover, Sesame Street's friendly monster, hugged a psychiatrist yesterday. He claims it was an accident. He is now confined to a straitjacket. The psychiatrists claim Grover is the sickest Muppet they have ever diagnosed. Grover says he is not sure he can change his behavior. For Radio Moon News, this is Catherine Sanders.
Thank you, Catherine, for that really funny news segment. Up next, we have a personal piece by Mary Lynn called The Excessive Sweet Tooth That Keeps on Giving. Take it away, Mary Lynn.
By looking at our high school Facebook page, you'd think those teenage years were the best. I don't remember them that way. Mind you, in my teenage years, I did travel with Mom and saw many countries and swam in many oceans, all the while feeling as if all of me was just not right. It all started in the summer of my 14th year. My mom decided that I should stay at my aunt and uncle's place on Long Island from the beginning of July to the middle of August. It sounded exciting at the time as I had spent past summer vacations there in Oceanside. I would see my friend Robin again, since we had bonded a few summers back when my family had visited my aunt and uncle. Robin's family lived in the house across from them. We had been pen pals ever since. As the date of my departure approached, I started seeing it more as a punishment than as a new adventure. When the school year ended, I was torn between really wanting to spend summer with the fun and cool Montreal friends that I had made in ninth grade and the equally exciting idea of spending my days with Robin at Jones Beach. What really took place that summer was not as picturesque. I arrived in Long Island on July 2nd. Fun things were happening there for us teenagers, but I longed to return to Montreal where my friends were experiencing the whole 70s vibe without me. The letters they sent me described all the fun they were having, such as rehearsing for the summer play directed by a famous actor that lived in our hood. It was during that summer that I turned to sweets for comfort. Yep, it was the beginning of my roller coaster sugar ride. It all started in my aunt's kitchen and on the beaches of Long Island. My beautiful porcelain skin had turned into a crater of scars from the acne that began to ravage my face, something bad. I took refuge in the guest room that had been mine for the time being and ate my aunt out of house and home. That summer, Robin and I devoured author Mario Puzo's best-selling book, The Godfather, while giggling at the more salacious pages. We also devoured caramel Milky Ways, similar to Mars bars, Bugles corn chips, and Cracker Jack's caramel popcorn. I don't remember lunchtime or dinner time or what we ate, but I sure remember those sugar snacks that brought instant rushes of comfort followed by a double dose of regret. My sweet tooth was out of control. I was drowning in feelings of inadequacy. My summer clothes got tighter and tighter. The worst part was that Robin was as slim as it can be, and it seemed that she could eat anything, yet never gain weight. Her younger brother started calling me fatty. That really hurt. I got my sweet revenge a few years later when I had a layover in JFK and briefly visited with Robin's family. Her brother's jaw dropped when seeing me. I was slim, I was fit, I was good looking, and I knew it. Since my early teens, I've been sometimes slim, sometimes chubby, sometimes in between. Now in my 60s, I'm pleasantly plump and occasionally still have those emotional ups and downs that trigger my sweet tooth. There are good days, bad days, and those in-between days where it starts out good and ends up with a late night uncontrollable sugar craving. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. The struggle is real.
Thank you, Mary Lynn. You know, I don't think you're the only one with the late night sugar cravings. Here's Natalie Burke with her Weakness for Sweetness from 1996.
Every time you turn and you twist up inside, you feel up my heart and you feel up my pride. You have my head feeling like an upside down. You have my body hurting all around. Pour your creative juices over me, mash down my walls and set me free. When you touch my bubble, you touch my soul. There's not another you in this whole wide world. I have a weakness for sweetness, weakness for sweetness. I have a weakness for sweetness, weakness for sweetness. Some people say that I'm a diabetic, but this is only one life to live, so I'ma live it. So don't throw no words that knock upon me door, cause never have I felt this way before. Women always stop to say I'm obsessed, men always tell me that I'm truly blessed. I tell them that I love everything that's nice, sugar cake, lollipop, pineapple and spice. Cause I have a weakness for sweetness, weakness for sweetness. I have a weakness for sweetness, weakness for sweetness. You want me to turn around,
just do it.
You want me to fall on the ground,
just do it.
You want me to back so, you want me to give some more,
just do it.
You want me to
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 just a little touch with no love and affection. I am the man with the heart foundation. You are the rice and me are the stew. Two are we together is like a dream come true. If you not have no foot, then you can't wear no shoe. Weakness for sweetness, that I'm me and you. Yes, I'm Mr. HD and I am telling you that. She want this sweetness are a natural fact.
Watch how me boom boom roll and tumble. Watch how me belly just reel and bubble. Watch how me hips just start to whine. If you control sweet, call me anytime. If me two knees just shake and tremble. If me back go crick and tingle. If you see me laugh but I feel in pain, do it again and again and again. Cause I have a weakness for sweetness,
weakness for sweetness.
I have a weakness for sweetness,
weakness for sweetness.
Never should stop it, stop it, stop it. Give me cause I want it, want it, want it. No matter how I try to fake it, I just love it. Cause I have a weakness for sweetness,
weakness for sweetness.
I have a weakness for sweetness,
weakness for sweetness.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up, it's the Radio Moon Poetry Minute, featuring Noel and then a new poem by Catherine. Take it away, Noel.
Hi, my name is Noel, and I have a poem for you today. It's called Sugar. Sugar, sugar by the Archies. Oh, honey, I love sweets. Makes me feel like a bunny. I love maple syrup. Put it in a cake. I have so much energy now, I could use a rake. Sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you. Put sugar in my coffee, sugar in my tea, what of you? Sugar is in everything these days. It leaves me with a very big haze. I love sugar, but not too much of it. Remember the weight you put on when you...
I am cut off from the light. Let's put this all together and make some kind of love. The light in the darkness is what you want sometimes, but it's always in a dark place. It's in a paradox. But look, I see the light coming closer. I do see it looking brighter, for hope will ease the pain from before, because eventually it comes. At last, we are here. So when you feel sad, if you ever feel sad again, put it all together and make a love. Make something beautiful. Even if it's just a little bit sad, just be together.
That was Sugar, We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy. Up next, we have Ivana, who interviewed a few of her friends on the topic of syrup. Let's take a listen to Ivana and what her friends have to say.
J'adore le sirop d'érable avec son petit goût caramélisé. J'en mange depuis ma tendre enfance, surtout sur mes crêpes. Je ne me souviens pas de la première fois. Je suis allée à la cabane à sucre pour la première fois lors d'une sortie de secondaire 4. J'ai adoré toute la nourriture, l'ambiance rustique et intime avec mon groupe et surtout ma première dégustation de tir. Les cabanes, depuis, ne m'ont servi qu'une nourriture fade en comparaison avec la première. J'ai observé que mon père, qui vient de la Serbie, n'a jamais mangé de sirop d'érable. une amie originaire du Danemark, ne l'aime pas non plus. Je me demande si ce sont les gens qui ont grandi au Québec qui aiment le sirop d'érable autant que ma mère qui m'y a fait goûter très jeune. Alors, je me demande quelle est l'influence de la culture d'origine et des relations sur l'intérêt que les gens vivant au Québec portent au sirop d'érable. J'ai interviewé quelques personnes autour de moi pour connaître leurs opinions et leur expérience du sirop d'érable et de d'autres sirops. En voici des extraits.
Est-ce que tu te souviens des premières fois que tu as mangé du sirop d'érable?
Du vrai sirop d'érable, c'est quand on est arrivé à Val-d'Or. Pas à Val-d'Or, à Saint-Géraud.
OK.
Avant ça, quand les vendeurs, c'était assez souvent, c'était soit qu'ils avaient ajouté quelque chose dans leur sirop, ou nous autres, on appelait ça du sirop de poteau.
OK, moi, ouais, je me souviens que tu en parlais du sirop de poteau.
En Abitibi, là.
OK.
T'étais pas là, toi.
Qu'est-ce que t'aimes dans le goût du sirop d'érable?
Je pense que c'est un petit goût. Je ne sais pas comment dire ça. C'est très doux, c'est agréable à la langue. C'est agréable quand ça met dans ta bouche.
Ah.
Sur le dessert que tu mets, comme ici, c'est quand il y a du pudding au riz, le tapioca, ils nous mettent un petit peu de sirop d'érable. Ils nous demandent si on le veut avec du sirop d'érable. Puis la plupart du monde, on dit oui. Fait qu'ils nous arrivent avec un beau petit contenant, puis tu verses la quantité que tu veux de sirop d'érable. Règle générale, on met tout petit là pour que ça soit bon.
OK. Ben merci.
Ça fait plaisir.
Do you enjoy maple syrup?
Yeah, actually, I do. I don't have it very often, but I enjoy it, yeah.
So what do you enjoy about it?
I like the aftertaste. The consistency, you know what? The consistency, the reliability. Like there's no Aunt Jemima in my house. Like, it's got to be real maple syrup. I love the versatility of it, though, too. The fact that you can cook with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's yummy stuff.
So what do you cook any of it?
Well, I don't cook very much in general, but my parents do.
Okay, so what do they cook?
I'm trying to say, roasted pears in maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if it's honey or maple syrup that my parents do their ham, their Christmas ham. I feel like there's something there. My sister's done Brussels sprouts.
Mm.
What I'd like to start doing, I think people put it in smoothies. Is that possible?
Yeah, you can put it anywhere where there's should be sugar and some liquid or form than granulated ones.
I should probably experiment.
I got like a can once at Mission Bon Accueil. I was like so excited. It was a bit ding, but I was like, who cares? It's maple syrup.
So obviously you have a love for maple syrup.
Oh yeah, it's a disaster if I run out.
Really?
Oh yeah, there's always some.
Okay, so if you run out, I will give you some.
Okay, thank you.
No, okay, yeah, I'm totally putting myself in this. When I'm totally jonesing for sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's nothing in my house. Yes, I have actually done this. I have taken a spoon and dipped it in honey and put it in my mouth.
As one does. Okay, but you wouldn't do that with maple syrup over sugar.
Would you do that with honey?
Are ridiculous.
Honey, by the way, was a punishment for me to have a tablespoon filled.
So, do you remember your first experience of tasting it?
I mean, I was born here. I'm pretty sure someone shoved a spoon of that sometime in my childhood. Like, someone must have fed me. No, I actually don't.
Okay. Do you have any memories of being really small and eating it at home?
Yeah.
Or somewhere else?
Yeah. We used to come here for the summers. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Summer?
Yeah. From where?
Because I didn't used to live here. I lived in the UAE and then Dubai, and then Qatar for 11 years.
Oh, okay, that's why.
And we used to come here in the summer.
So no maple
Wait,
syrup there?
So summer over there?
No, summer over here.
Okay. I've never been to a sugar shack.
Ooh,
you see? Yeah. No, that's
story right there. An op-ed that can be done. I've never been to a sugar shock.
That's okay. People have gotten mad at me too.
That's like, really?
Yeah. Transparent
account. It's not my favorite place because it's crowded. It's the food's not that great other than the maple syrup.
The word of the day is basic.
It's like too noisy for me to, it's really hard to enjoy.
Well, it's interesting that, like, okay, so I have this memory of the maple syrup in snow, but it wasn't at a sugar shack. No, it was at a scouting event.
Yeah,
it was at a what?
A scouting event.
So they had like, I've had them in
I was a Boy Scout. I was a Boy Scout for 8 years.
I had some in a mall as a kid. And I only went to a sugar shack as a late teens.
Wow.
Okay, so this is what my family does when it comes to pancakes. Because some of us like maple syrup, but also like molasses. But you can't have molasses before maple syrup. Because the molasses sticks in the plate, so it mixes the tastes. So you have to make sure you have your fill of maple syrup before you move on to the molasses.
And you gotta make sure you get enough room for the molasses.
Wow, même avec un tout petit échantillon de personnes, les expériences sont différentes des miennes. Ici Ivana pour Radio Moon, pour CKUT 90.3 FM et CKUT.ca.
Parents are advised not to allow their children to dress up as Muppets this Halloween night. Psychiatrists advise this because they do not want children to get confused about whether they hold human values or the Muppets' values. Television is already confusing them, and psychiatrists don't want them to get more confused about values, since values are the main subject of the psychiatric profession. For Radio Moon News, this is Catherine Sanders.
Thank you, Catherine, and that's all for today's show, folks. For more information on Radio Moon or Forward House, please visit www.forwardhouse.org, or you could call us at 514-488-9119. And don't forget, you can always listen to us online at ckut.ca. We'll leave you today with a couple more tunes by Chaka Khan, followed by the iconic Sweet Emma and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Enjoy! We'll be right back.
McGill University's 4th annual Queer History Month is taking place this October. Join in later in the month for more exciting programming, including a chat with an elder session from 5 to 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October 19th, a zine-making workshop on Thursday, October 21st from noon to 2 p.m., a trans and non-binary in academia panel discussion on Wednesday, October 27th from 6 to 8 p.m., and finally a queer open mic night with performances by Opera Queens on Thursday, October 28th, also from 6 to 8 p.m. Queer History Month will be opened and closed by Elder Gowanodas Sidalio Fazio. Visit the Equity at McGill webpages, www.mcgill.ca/equity, for a complete list of Queer History Month events organized by McGill's Office of the Provost and Vice Principal Academic and their partners. The goal of McGill's Queer History Month is to raise awareness, advance education, and increase visibility of 2S LGBTQIA communities by recognizing their histories and contributions, building bridges, and bringing together McGill students, staff, faculty, and alumni, and Montreal community members.
Other than that, I mean, you know, what's going on? What are you saying?
Buenas tardes.
And we'll be back.
Missed your favorite show? Not a problem. Go to www.ckut.ca and follow the link to CKUT's easy-to-use archives. Instructions are on the page. 2 months' worth of archives are stored in mono and a half a month's worth in stereo.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal.
If you're having trouble, please email sys@ckut.ca. That's sys@ckut.ca. Oh yeah!
I want to be your motivator.
Laurie a hâte de célébrer son anniversaire au resto. Elle y a pensé toute la semaine. Elle a invité ses amis. Elle a acheté une nouvelle robe. Elle s'est rendue au resto. Elle n'a pas pu rentrer dans le resto. Elle a dû ranger sa nouvelle robe. Elle n'a pas pu voir ses amis. Et elle y a pensé toute la semaine.
N'attendez pas de frapper un mur. Faites-vous vacciner. Le passeport vaccinal est maintenant exigé pour fréquenter certains lieux publics. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Something's wrong here.